In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight we find ourselves in the middle of Holy Week, towards the end of Lent, on the eve of Good Friday. Tonight we gather to remember Jesus' last night on earth as one of us, a human being in the flesh, born Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God with us. I wonder sometimes if we forget just what an audacious statement it is, that when Jesus was born, God came among us as one of us. Why would God do that? Why would God choose to be born a human, to live a relatively short life in an obscure corner of the Roman Empire, and die a horrible death? If you've ever asked yourself this question, you're not alone. I was haunted by it for a long, long time. The seeming contradictions inherent in the story of God / Jesus / Holy Spirit, born only to die at the hands of the Romans with the help of his own people. And if you've also been troubled by the seeming absurdity of this story, you and I are in good company, because theologians from the time of Christ right up until today have puzzled over it. Theories have been put forth. Creeds have been written. Wars have been fought. And yes, people have been burned at the stake over arguments about the nature of God and the nature of Jesus, and over what is right belief and what is heresy. Well, here's what has strengthened my faith and given me some relief from the burdens of creeds and contradictions. I simply ignored them and followed the stories. Tonight we have the story of Jesus' last night on earth. Our reading from John's Gospel tells us that night Jesus knew what was coming. He was about to die. And then we get one of the most beautiful sentences in any of the Gospels, and maybe one of the most beautiful sentences ever written. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. How wonderful is that? Remember now, his own who were in the world included the one who was about to betray him. And even though he lets Judas know in no uncertain terms that his heart is not clean, he loves him nonetheless. He loves him to the end. And the one who will deny him three times, Peter, the one who can never seem to get anything right, Peter, the clumsy one, who can't even take the simple act of kindness that Jesus offers without an argument, well, Jesus loved him to the end. This ragtag bunch of hangers-on and friends who had been following him around for a couple of years, who just the other day had followed him into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, well, they were hoping in their hearts that he was the Messiah and that he was going to lead them back to the glory days of David, hoping that he was going to make Israel great again. Those followers and friends, most of whom would desert him when the going got really tough, well, he loved them to the end. Love. I believe it is the central message of the Gospels, and I believe that Jesus came to be with us for a little while and left us with the redeeming message of love, because at the very nature of God, God is love. Love of creation, love of humanity, love of all the messiness and contradictions and paradox that come with human life in this world. God loves us in all of our clumsiness. God loves us with all of our bumps, bruises, and dirty feet. He loves us to the end. I've only been a priest for a little while, but in the short time I've been a priest, I've had the great pleasure of blessing three different marriages. And as part of the run-up to a wedding, we invite the couple to choose a couple of passages from the gospel. And so far it's been a unanimous choice. 3 out of 3 have chosen that famous passage from 2 Corinthians that you've probably already heard at every wedding you've ever been to, and probably at your own weddings. And it's a great reading, and part of it goes, love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Those are beautiful sentiments, don't get me wrong, and they're perfectly appropriate for a wedding. And I would argue, for the most part, they're kind of vague generalizations and abstractions. Good things to shoot for. But tonight, Jesus shows us what love really looks like down here in the world where he lived and died as a man, and in the world where we live and will die as people. Jesus shows what love does. Love washes feet. Raymond Carver was a brilliant story writer and poet who published a collection of short stories sometime in the early 70s, I believe. And this collection of short stories had what I think is like maybe one of the most brilliant titles ever. It's called What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. The reason I think the title is so great is that when we talk about love, it's really tempting to get all abstract and general. And when we talk about it, love tends to become just that, talk. It's when we actually do something about how we feel that love becomes real in the world and really means something. Love is one person kneeling down at the feet of another, touching them, serving them, in contact with them on a really primal human level. Love may be patient and kind, but love really has to get down and become embodied and do the hard work to count for much. I'm not going to try to unpack the mystery of who Jesus was, or more importantly, who Jesus is for us in Jackson Hole on Monday, Thursday, 2017, because I want to leave it as a mystery, because talking about it may boil down to just talk. I know this much, though. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. 37 days and some Sundays ago, we were marked with ashes and reminded that we come from dust, and that's where we're going, but that dust is not our ultimate destination. We've gone through the season of Lent, sometimes gracefully, sometimes clumsily. We tried our best to be kind. We followed the story of Jesus, the walking contradiction, the man, God incarnate, on his way to Jerusalem, and tonight we are in the room with him as he bows down to wash our feet. We are at supper with Jesus and each other. And here he is, loving each one of us to the end. This ritual that we're participating in tonight isn't recognized as a sacrament by the church, but it does contain all the necessary ingredients. Here we are, a ragtag bunch of followers. God is here, we are here together, and our hearts, and using our bodies, using our hearts, using our hands, we will wash each other's feet, an outward sign of an inward grace, the grace that comes with service to each other, the intimate and humble grace that comes with showing love to each other. It comes with the promise to love each other to the end. And at the end of tonight's story, Jesus gives the gift of a new commandment to his followers. Did you catch the subtle difference that Jesus' new commandment holds? Previously, he had told his friends that they were to love each other as they would love themselves. Tonight, he tells us that we are to love each other just as he has loved us. Sounds like a tall order, because it is. But he shows us how hard and how simple it really is. Love washes feet. Amen.